Okay, so now I will continue my yesterday's talk. Yesterday, yesterday we have talked about the notion of I am occurs due to what? Clinging. Not without clinging. Then we also have talked about clinging to what? Clinging to five aggregate. Clinging to five aggregate as I, mind, myself. Therefore, the notion of I am occurs. Let us put into practical example. So when you sit for 25 minutes or 30 minutes, when the pain arises in you, without mindfulness and concentration and wisdom, do you immediately cling to that pain as my pain, yes or no? Even though you have listened so many times, don't cling, you still cling to the pain as myself or belong to me or mine. So through that clinging, pain arises because of having the body, right? So when you cling to that pain, it's like you cling to the body as I, my, myself. Therefore, the notion of I am occur. You, through your own practical example, a practical experience, you know it yourself. What Buddha say is to verify your experience only. And sometimes, no, when you have or when you have pleasant feeling, sometimes once a while, the pain disappears and you have pleasant feeling. When the pleasant feeling arises in you, do you cling without mindfulness and wisdom? Do you cling to that pleasant feeling as myself? Yes or no? Do you cling to that pleasant feeling as mine, belong to me? Yes. So because of that clinging to that feeling, first, it's clinging to form, body. The secondly, because of clinging to that feeling as I, my, myself, therefore, the notion of I am occur. This, through your own practical experience, you understand. Right? And sometimes, unpleasant feeling. Unpleasant feeling can be mentally or physically. Like mentally, you think of the past. You think of some past event which caused you some miserable feeling. So this then unpleasant feeling arises in you. So do you cling to that unpleasant, mental unpleasant feeling as I, myself? Do you react to that unpleasant mental feeling? When you react to that unpleasant mental feeling, you have already clung to it as I, myself. Therefore, through clinging to feeling aggregate, the notion of I am occur. You know it through your practical experience, right? Buddha just tell you only. If Buddha don't tell you in this way, you never know. You never know it's because of clinging to the feeling that notion of I am occur. Okay? And sometimes when you perceive something, oh, very beautiful. You perceive it beautiful. So do you cling to your perception as I, myself? Yes. And when you cling to the perception aggregate as I, myself, then the notion of I am occur. Now formation aggregate. In the formation aggregate, there are so many mental factors in the formation aggregate, including anger, delusion, jealousy, worry, fear, restless, sloth, and torpor, and all the five hindrances, doubt, a closed mind, and so on. All these are under mental formation. Let me give only one example. The worry arises. When worry arises in you, for example, sometimes the breath becomes so subtle, no more breath. And you're afraid losing the breath, you will lose your concentration. So worry starts to arise in you. Without mindfulness, Do you cling to that worry as I mind myself? Yes or no? Yes. When you cling to that worry, which is formation aggregate, then the notion, the view of I am occur. And sometimes you have expectation. Huh? You have expectation that, let's say, today you can sit very well. Then you start to have expectation. Oh, I'm going to make good progress. I'm going to break through. So you sit with so strong expectation. Do you cling to that expectation as I mind myself? Or you know that expectation is anatta, non-self? Huh? I think most people cling to that expectation as I mind myself. And therefore, the notion, the view of I am occur. Similarly, when you crave for something, you like something, you crave for something, or you don't like something, we also identify that liking and disliking as I, my, myself. So through the clinging, the notion of I am occur. Clinging to what? Clinging to the body, to the feelings, different type of feeling, pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, and clinging to your perception, how you perceive things. You perceive the form, perceive the sound, and so on. And clinging to different states of the mind, especially different states of the mind. Your sorrow. If sorrow arises, you cling to the sorrow as I mind myself, what is the consequences? Cry. Right? Crying. Because lose mindfulness. You start to cling that sorrow as mine. So the reaction comes. Therefore, in order to stop the perpetuation, a proliferation of that mental state, you must arouse the explicit effort. Immediately note it as vanishing not myself, so that you will not be affected by your emotions. Especially for female. Female has so much emotion. Therefore, in all retreat, more female than male. Because they cannot handle the emotion, so they have to come for retreat. Okay. So lastly, consciousness aggregate. What is consciousness? We have six types of consciousness. Hearing consciousness, tasting. Here is seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smelling consciousness, tasting consciousness, touching consciousness, and thinking, mental consciousness. So when you hear something, do you cling to that hearing as I mind myself? Yes. When you taste the food, go to the kitchen, when the food touch your tongue, you taste something, do you cling to that tasting as I mind myself? Okay, when you daydreaming, do you cling to that thinking or imagination as I mind myself? Yes or no? Yes. Therefore, the notion of I am occur. This through your own practical experience. Buddha just tell you clearly only. Through your own practical experience, in daily life, even in the retreat, you say yes. What Buddha said is very correct. That's all. So, let me repeat. Why the notion of I am occur? Through what? Everybody, please answer. Clinging. Then clinging to what? Okay, what are the five aggregates? Yes, so you know already why you have the notion of I am. Because of clinging. And because of clinging to this, in short, five aggregate is ultimate truth. But in conventional truth, clinging to your body and mind, that's all. Clinging to your body and mind as I, mind, myself, therefore the view, the wrong view of I, identity view, comes about. Understand? Okay, good. This is very important for your practice. Okay, then how we cling, what is the consequences when you strongly cling to your five aggregate? Or when you strongly cling to your mind and body, what is the consequences? Birth. Okay, let me give you an example. Suppose there was a householder, a rich man, with much wealth and property, protected by a bodyguard. Then some men would appear who wanted to ruin him, to endanger him, to take his life, to harm him, and to take his life. And it would occur to that man. This householder is a rich man with much wealth and property and is protected by a bodyguard. It wouldn't be easy to take his life by force. Let me get close to him and then take his life. Then he would approach that householder and say to him, I would like to serve you, sir. Then the householder would appoint him as a servant. The man would serve him, rising up before him, retiring after him, and doing whatever he wants. Agreeable in his conduct, endearing in his speech. And the householder's son, and the householder would consider him a friend, a close friend, a close servant. And he would place trust. Since you consider him as a close friend, you trust him and place trust in him. But when a man becomes aware that a householder has placed trust in him, then finding him alone, he would take his life with a sharp knife. Okay, now the question comes. Okay, what do you think? I want your answer, What do you think? When that man had approached that householder and said to him, I will serve him, I will serve you, sir, wasn't he a murderer even though the other did not recognize him as my murderer? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, this first question. Second question. And when a man was serving him, rising up before him, retiring after him, doing whatever he wants, agreeable in his conduct and speech, wasn't he a murderer then too, though the other did not recognize him as my murderer? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. The last question. And when the man came upon him while he was alone and took his life with a sharp knife, wasn't he a murderer then too, though the other did not recognize him as my murderer? This definitely yes, right? It's so clear, I take your knife, of course I'm your murderer. But for the first question, when that man and said to him, I would like to serve him, even though he is the murderer, but you do not recognize him. And also, when he behaved so well, pleasant in your speech, pleasant in his speech and in his conduct, and you trust him as a good friend, you trust him as a worthy, trusty friend. So do you recognize him as murderer, even though he is murderer? No. Okay. So who is the murderer? Who is the murderer? Okay. Five aggregate. Your five aggregate is murderer. Your five aggregate serve you very much. You go to the kitchen, your tongue serve you so well. You know, eat, enjoy the food, serve you so well. Your eye can see so many pleasant things. And your mind can think whatever you want. So do you trust your body? When there's pleasant feeling, do you trust your feeling? Yes. When you can think all sorts of things, do you trust your mind? Yes. Although your body your feelings, your minds, they are murderer. But you cannot recognize them. You just cannot recognize them. And when you cannot recognize them as murderer, what you do? You trust them. You trust them and you identify them as myself, my faithful servant. My feeling belong to me, my faithful body, my faithful mind, my faithful perception, my faithful formation, my faithful concentration. Tomorrow concentration drop, no more faithful. So how can it be trusted? So when you trust something or somebody which is changing all the time, you end up in suffering. You end up in suffering. So therefore, Buddha said, these five aggregates are murderer. Whether you recognize them or not, they remain murderer. Bear in mind, so Buddha's teaching is so beautiful, wonderful, and so precise and direct, go into your heart. Right? So, what Buddha want to say is, these five aggregates are murderer. And because it appears so pleasant to us, pleasant in his conduct, in his speech, praise us very much, give us comfort, right? Feed us. So we become so close to them and we place trust to them and we cling to them, we crave for them more and more, we cling to them. And because of that clinging, what happened? Because the clinging or craving is the origin of all suffering. It's the second noble truth. What is the first noble truth? Yes, five aggregate of clinging is the first noble truth, right? And the second noble truth is craving for them, craving for this five aggregate. Craving for life. Life is composed by five aggregates, right? So you crave for life. Why you crave for life? Why? Because it gives you satisfaction, right? Only with life you can enjoy. If you're like banana tree, how can enjoy? How can enjoy things? You cannot enjoy. So with life, with body, with tongue, with ear, with eye, you can see, you can hear. With body, you can enjoy touch. Opposite sex touch, or pleasant touch, smooth touch, soft touch. And with mind, you can think. So why you crave for five aggregate? Because the five aggregate give you satisfaction. Give you pleasurable. And give you pleasant feeling. And because of that pleasant feeling, you crave for it. When you crave for it and become more and more attached to it, then you become the slave of it, no more boss. Become the slave of it, you got to listen to them, then finally they got chance to kill you. This is what Buddha tried to convey to you. Understand? Yes or no? Okay, good. So Buddha said, so true, for a friend, for uninstructed worldling who is not skilled in the Dhamma, who is not skilled in Buddha's teaching, then this worldling, ordinary person, will regard form. What is form? Form make up by four elements, will regard form as self, will regard or self as possessing form, or form as in self, or self as in form. You may ask, what is this? What is the difference about for this four? Okay, let me explain to you. Because this is very common, appear very common in Sutta. I'd like to tell something. Let me interrupt for, something. And it is a pity. It's a pity that Malaysian don't like to read Sutta. If you don't like to read Sutta, you are very far away from the original teaching of the Buddha. And if you don't have the knowledge of sutta, you cannot assess a teacher. In order to assess a teacher, whether he or she is teaching correctly or not, you need some what? Some proof and some foundation, right? If you are a stupid person, you never know who is wise, right? Same thing. So in order to assess a teacher, whether he's teaching according to Buddha's teaching or not, you yourself must have some foundations. Otherwise, how to assess? Right? Correct. So in order to have some foundation to assess who is teaching the correct teaching of the Buddha, you need sutta knowledge. Because it's the most fundamental, it's the original teaching of the Buddha, and 2,600 years ago in the first council. Now, this sutta is already recited by Ananda. And through years, it passed down, handed down until now. So it's a waste. It's a waste. It's a pity. Now sutta is so easily accessible and available. And yet, we let the precious jewel slip from our hands like that. And because of that, you have so much doubt. This teacher teach this way, that teacher teach that way. Which one is correct? You don't know. Because you yourself have not enough knowledge to assess. So I hope you all, when go back home, spend more time to read the original teaching of the Buddha. Don't spend time in front of TV. Okay? Spend more time reading the original teaching of the Buddha. It's so important, right? All my knowledge come from the sutta. And if you think my teaching is very clear, simply because I understand the teaching of the Buddha well only. Okay? So Buddha said, we consider a person who is not skillful in the teaching of the Buddha will consider form as self. And all self as possessing form. So what's the difference? Consider form as self. It means that you think form, body, and self as one. So you consider form as self, two in one. Not like coffee, three in one, two in one. So you consider this two in one. Is it correct or not? Not correct. So what is the correct? What is the correct thing? If you regard form as self, then identity view comes. So what's wrong with this statement? Correct. You are smart. This is exactly the meaning. There's never the self. Right? If you consider form as self, it's completely wrong view. Because there's never the self. You just see form as form. That's all. If you see form as self, no. Sorry. Understand? Understand. Okay, the second one. Or self as possessing form. For the first statement, self as form, two in one. Okay? Or self as possessing form, self as one, and this self possess form, possess body. Most of us have this type of thinking, right? Do you have this type of thinking? You think there's self, and this self got body. Yes or no? Most people have this type of thinking. Huh? Okay, then is it correct? Not correct. Why not correct? Remember what Stephen said. There's never a self. Yeah. Okay, the third one. Form as in self. The form, the body is inside the self. Self is one, body is one. Huh? And the body, the form is inside the self. Which is also not correct. It's also two things. This is not two in one already. Two separate things. Huh? But take this one, put inside the self. Also not correct, simply because there's never a self. Answer is very simple. Okay, the last one, self as informed. Just now, form is in self. This one opposite, self as informed. Almost the same thing. Also not correct. These four faces always appear in the sutta. So now you can understand already. Okay? So for ordinary person, uninstructed worldling who is not skillful in the teaching of the Buddha, regard form as self, or self as possessing form, or form as in self, or self as in form. And he also regard feeling as self. Now, whatever you feel, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, you think that feeling as self. Yes or no? Most people think in this way. Although it's wrong view, but since we have not yet eradicated identity view, we've got to think like that. If we don't have mindfulness, we don't have wisdom, we have to think like that. But if you use mindfulness and wisdom, you will not think like that. You note the feeling. How to note? You can first arouse your mindfulness, see the feeling, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. No, feeling has a reason. Okay, then further apply wise attention or wisdom. You can see it's vanishing, or you can complete, or you can directly contemplate feeling is not myself. Right? Sometimes you change, don't see impermanent all the time. You can see feeling is not myself. Feeling as not myself. Feeling is conditionary arisen dhamma. Understand? Please, these are all important things you should write down and keep on put key in into your computer mind. Okay? And also, he regard feeling as self, and he regard perception as self. He regard volitional formation as self, or he regard consciousness as self. And he does not understand as it really is, impermanent form as impermanent form. When you regard the five aggregates as self, then you do not understand as it really is, impermanent form as impermanent form. When you see the four elements in the pain, if you regard it as myself, my four elements, then you cannot see impermanent four elements as impermanent four elements. Right? And he cannot see impermanent feeling as impermanent feeling. And he cannot see impermanent perception as impermanent perception, impermanent volition formation as impermanent volitional formation, and he cannot see impermanent consciousness as impermanent consciousness. Here in Yamaka Sutta, Sariputta, Venerable Sariputta give five way of contemplation. I don't think I can finish today. So first you should you should not regard these five aggregates as self first. Tomorrow I will go into detail how to contemplate according to the teaching of Buddha. Okay? Yamaka. Sanyutta Nikaya, Sutta, Sanyutta Nikaya, Khanda Sanyutta, then Sutta 85. Yamaka, Yamaka. This sutta, Yamaka Sutta. I have one student who is Jewish, Yutairan. When I was in USA, he showed me this sutta and he told me that, sister, I have been reading this sutta for 10 years continuously and yet still don't understand. So if you can get it from the first time you read it, you are smart. Right? With the help of the teacher, I think you can get it.